A family are standing in an airport. There's a dark-haired little boy, maybe about 10, holding a bouquet of flowers in his hands. Mom stands next to him, her hands clasped in front of her like a prayer, a smile on her face and tears in her eyes. Dad stands next to her, hands nervously in his pockets, a tender smile on his face. Sister and brother stand behind, fidgeting in expectation. They are waiting for a very important guest to arrive. The little boy with the bouquet, his name is Jake, and he was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia at the age of 4. In 4 years of chemotherapy, he describes what his life was like. "I always felt sick," he says. "I had to take a lot of medicine, and I never felt good." Dad remembers living at the hospital, watching doctors and nurses sticking needles in his young son's body, filling him with chemicals, like a horror movie, he says. Even so, the cancer came back. Doctors tell them that Jake's best and only chance of survival is a bone marrow transplant. Soon, a match is made. Her name is Carrie Ann, and she lives in Germany. The transplant happened in September 2010, and it was successful. 2 years later, the family are able to contact the young woman who saved Jake's life. They meet her at the airport with a handmade sign that reads, "Welcome, Carrie Ann." And soon there she is, coming around the corner, down the gangway, pulling a suitcase behind her with a tote bag on her shoulder. Her hair is up in a ponytail, and a scarf is wrapped around her neck against the cold. As she walks closer, the family begin to clap and laugh and cry, and quickly the young woman is wrapped in the arms of Mom, who whispers over and over, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." You see, Carrie Ann's bone marrow transplant saved young Jake's life. Asked about it later and with tears in his eyes, Dad says of Carrie Ann, "She's an angel. She saved my son's life." And what did young Jake have to say about all of this? When he grows up, he wants to be a firefighter like his dad. "Because I want to save lives," he says, "just like Carrie Ann saved mine." Carrie Ann saved Jake's life by donating her own healthy marrow and blood cells to replace Jake's diseased and dying cells. But how does a transplant work? And as I stand here and I look out and I see all these health professionals, I sure am hoping I get this right. Healthy marrow and blood cells are needed to live. When disease affects marrow so that it cannot function properly, a marrow or cord blood transplant could be the best treatment option. And for some patients like Jake, it offers the only potential cure. Patients receive high doses of chemotherapy to prepare their body for the transplant. Then on transplant day, the patient receives the donated cells in a process that is like getting blood or medicine through an intravenous catheter or tube. A bone marrow transplant takes a donor's healthy blood-forming cells and puts them into the patient's bloodstream, where they begin to grow and make healthy red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. The diseased and dying cells are replaced with healthy, life-giving cells from a donor. So did you notice the passage in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi this morning? "He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself." There is a small group that gathers here on Thursday nights at 7 to talk about another donor, someone who gave of himself to save others, someone who knew there were people with sin-sick souls in need of a transplant. The funny thing is, though, about having a sin-sick soul, we may not look sick, at least not like little Jake did. We may be up and moving about. We go to work, to school, we come home, we feed the cat, take out the trash. Yet all the while, our souls and the world we're living in, they're getting increasingly sick. Relationships are broken and in need of restoration. Prejudice seems on the rise and freedom a long way off. Selfishness seems to increase while love dies. But we don't have to go this way. Thankfully for you and me, there is a transplant available that can fight this kind of disease and soul death. Yesterday at the cathedral, we celebrated the life of Absalom Jones, an African-American abolitionist and clergyman. After founding a black congregation in 1794, he was the first African-American ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church of the United States in 1804. And we sang one of the all-time greatest African-American hymns yesterday. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's power enough in heaven to cure a sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Revives my soul again like a transplant. What would our lives and the world around us be like if we allowed the diseased parts of our lives to be transformed with the body and blood of Jesus? Paul knew what that kind of transplant looked like when he wrote his letter to the church in Philippi. When he said, he will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. And in other less churchy words from the message, but there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, like the family at the airport, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be, under and around him. And that sounds to me like a soul transplant. No more diseased and unhealthy life for us, not when we can receive the healthy and life-giving donation of Jesus. Because Jesus can make us whole again. And then in turn, we make the world around us whole again. Like little Jake. I want to save lives like Carrie Ann saved me. Like Paul saying, I want to save lives like Jesus Christ saved me. Paul wrote to his friends in Philippi, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, he says, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. So last week in that small group that meets on Thursday nights, we talked about why Jesus died for us on the cross, and we're Episcopalians, so of course there were many opinions that floated around the table, but one in particular stood out for me. Jesus died on the cross not to atone for our sins, yours and mine, but to reconcile us, to bring us back to God under the wings of that mother hen. Jesus came to take away those diseased things that distance us from the love of God. Hatred, injustice, war, prejudice, fear. He came to replace them, to transplant other things in our souls and in our beings that draw us closer to God. A reconciling love and true freedom so that Christ might be revealed in us. We recited an affirmation of faith yesterday, which really resonated with me. And it illuminates just what might happen when our souls and the world we live in are renewed through Christ's life source transplanted within you and me. That God who is love created all and called it good. That God is present with all of creation. And that in darkness and in life, God is faithful. Therefore, we too seek to be faithful. That Jesus came to show us love with a human face. that he taught justice and reconciliation and suffered on our behalf, and that through his faithful example, he embodies hope. Therefore, we too seek to be people of justice, reconciliation, and hope. That the Holy Spirit guides and accompanies us, that this same Spirit offers wisdom and discernment, and that when we are open, the Spirit can always find a way. Therefore, we seek to be people filled with God's Spirit, discerning, loving, and transforming our world. The healing that Carrie Ann gave saved Jake's life. Jesus came so that you and I would also have life and have it abundantly, lives full of love and grace and restoration. The healing that Jesus brought transformed Paul forever and in many ways. The question for us is, are we ready for our transplant?